Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everybody, to Talking with Truth. No, I'm just kidding. No, we always talk with truth, right? But welcome with Simply Hanif, and I'm your girl, Simply Hanif, and I'm excited today because we have a special guest. Her name is Dawn, honey, Dawn Garcia, and I'm excited. Let's talk about her magazine and why she got into it. As a creative force, award-winning writer, editorial, and publishing leader, Dawn Garcia believes that lifestyle is more than an idea. Editorial content should take hold of you, and I agree with that, right? She is a Los Angeles native. She has spent her life traveling the world surrounded by culture, film, food, wine, art, entertainment, and philanthropy, and I think that is something to talk about. So let's go ahead with no further ado, introduce Ms. Dawn Garcia, and let her tell you what she is all about, this little funky, spicy young lady. I am excited to have her on. Welcome.
Well, hello.
Hi, how are you, honey? Thanks for having me on.
I'm well, I'm well. I'm excited to have you on. I want to talk about your magazine. I want to talk about what it's all about. Let our readers know what ATOD means.
Well, ATOD stands for A Taste of Dawn. It's meant to be a little cheeky and hopefully unforgettable. The magazine is all about everything I felt made life passionate. It started as a dare and just ended up being a really good dare.
Oh, start off as a dare. Tell us about that. Tell us about how that happened.
A friend of mine was a chef at a restaurant and worked with a bunch of sommeliers, and so he knew I was a writer and saw something in, I think it was Riviera magazine, looking for food writers. And he had said to me, you should totally, you know, submit an article for that. And I said, there's no way. You know, like, I don't do food reviews, and I also know that I'm too descriptive and I have a very clear voice. Like, it's not going to be completely, you know, like traditional journalism. And he said, well, you should just do it anyways. And I said, yeah, whatever. And he's fine, I dare you. And I thought, dang, okay, if you dare me, I can't turn down a good dare. So I was like, fine, I'll do it. And so I did. I just wrote like a really, you know, single paragraph because it was very minimal words that they wanted. I think it was like, I don't even know if it was 200 words, 200 words or less. Now, about how am I supposed to make an impacting review? And so I wrote it, and I wrote my little review, and I ended up getting a handwritten letter back saying, you know, this doesn't fit what we're doing because you have a very clear voice, but you should definitely be exploring your voice. And I thought, well, that's, you know,
wow.
And I've worked as a writer for years, and but, you know, food is a very different thing, but the way I see food is, or just dining in general, is I think it's an experience, and I, you know, I feel like when you walk into a restaurant, you should be aware of everything that's happening, not just the plate before you. And
absolutely.
So anyways, so long story short, I thought, well, whatever, I'll just create a blog, and it was fun, and I got to expand, and obviously, as I'm sure you know, I'm quite wordy, so I didn't want to just keep it under 300 words or 200 words. So I was able to really expand and just kind of explore. And it was a great exercise for me because I really got to utilize the way I write, and just it kind of made me realize how much I really did pay attention to ingredients and food. And I've always been a person people ask where to go and what kind of food to eat and whatever. But it's very different when you sit down to really explore what that means to you. And so that's kind of how it started.
I agree.
And then it just took off.
I'm a foodie myself. I love wine, entertainment, and I think sometimes we're so busy rushing that we don't sit and enjoy the ambiance and really take in what it is that you're actually eating as well. You know, I love the taste of food. I'm such a critic because I actually pay attention. You know, I hate a plate in front of me that is just it doesn't spark any interest. Or when you taste it, you're like, really? Like, my kid could have made this, you know.
Right. You want something that really you can indulge your taste buds in. And I agree with that, with wine and entertainment and art and things like that. So I love what you're doing. What is one of your films, since you love to travel? I want to talk about a couple of things. What was one of your favorite places that you traveled and that you love, you know, their culture and their food?
Complete polar opposites, honestly. So the first that I ever actually traveled outside of the country was I went to Belize in Guatemala. And it wasn't – Belize is where I stayed, and it was there that it really kind of opened my mind up completely. I mean, it's a third world country, and it is one of the most beautiful places I've ever seen. And it wasn't necessarily – the food was certainly not gourmet. I mean, we had fish that was speared that day by a local tribe. And I had, that was the first time I had really ever had mole, like real mole, the way that it was intended, which is when it's done right, it is such a beautiful thing, and it is not chalky or gross. But when you go to restaurants, 9 times out of 10, it's just totally compromised. It doesn't taste like mole should taste. So anyways, that was kind of my first real, like, palate awakener. But I'd say culturally speaking, the two places that had the biggest impact on me were Japan and Barcelona. So
I want to go to Japan. How is it there?
Oh, gosh. I think everybody should go to Japan, to be honest. It's really culture shock, so you have to prepare for the fact that, you know, the vast majority of people do not speak English, so it's not you can't go there with that typical, you know, American attitude, which I hate that people have when they travel, where they feel like everybody should speak English. Learn a little Japanese. Just a few phrases will get you by. And when I tell you that it is the most polite culture that I have ever encountered in my life, it's clean and gorgeous. I mean, even in Tokyo, like, it, you could eat off the floor. Like, it is spotless. And it's just a very respectful culture. And it's beautiful. I mean, it's so efficient. And I had some of the most incredible conversations. There's a place called Wenno Park. And it's so old. I mean, there's 1,000-year-old tombs and beautiful temples. And the thing is, when I went there, I had no idea what to expect. It was completely unplanned. And it was when they were restoring. And I guess every 100 years in Japan, they restore their temple. So they take such great care of what they have. And that I found to be beautiful. Anyways, and so in Wenno Park, there's a lot of homeless, but their homeless is, it's nothing like our version of homeless. I mean, these are well-educated, highly clean individuals, like, and they may have psychological problems, but a lot of them just chose not to sort of go. They didn't like the way the government was run, so they went off on their own. But I mean, these are, like, some of them are PhD educated, and it was just a very interesting sort of dynamic, something that I had never experienced. And even when you did run across somebody who, you know, in LA I see it every day, but who maybe homeless and may have, like, something psychologically that needs to be addressed or whatever. I don't know. It was just a very different, it wasn't scary, I guess.
No, I get
that.
I get it.
There wasn't that violent tempered side, I guess. And so in society in
general,
we're
used to seeing that. Yeah, we're used to seeing it.
Yeah, I mean,
in California, so it's different.
Yeah, I mean, and I know it's like, not to totally divert from the topic, but I mean, obviously there's a lot of things in this country that need to be fixed. And that is, to me, that is one of them. I mean, if so many of the people on the streets actually are not, you know, they're not what people assume. They just, a lot of them are veterans. A lot of them lost their jobs. I mean, and it's just a hard life. But I feel like if they could address it, I think looking at how other countries address it, there's a much better way to take care of these people on the streets and really give them some quality of life, you know.
I agree with you. As a person that has served this country for my safety, for anyone, should never have to be on the street. It should be automatic that they have home. They're building homes all the time. It should be automatic that they have homes. It should be automatic that they have food. I just think that's a disgrace. They should not be on the streets at all. They should not have to worry about medical care ever in their life. That's just my point. Ever. If you've served in this country, they should not have to worry about paying for that care.
No, I concur. I mean, there's a gentleman that I know, Sebastian Younger. He's an incredible documentary filmmaker, and he's the political correspondent for Vanity Fair. And he really enlightened me. I had him when I had my show last year. He was on my show, and he just explained to me that, you know, for some of these veterans that come back, it can take up to a year for them to actually go see a doctor and have their PTSD addressed. In a year,
no, I know.
So much can happen. You know, that's something that needs to be addressed immediately. Anyways, I know
no,
that
that's not what we're talking about
show.
Today.
No,
but we could talk about you. We could talk about whatever you want. I'm good with that. Because I love that because I have family that are vets, and so that have served this country, and some come back with mental issues. And I'm telling mm-hmm. you, just to get or they get so medicated that they're not getting the actual help that they need. And
right,
it does need to be addressed.
Well, I just feel like
it's
if you're, you know, you can't prepare somebody for war. You cannot.
No, you can't.
It's so
no.
hard. But you also need to support and nurture them when they come back after seeing things that we don't have to see, that they expose themselves to intentionally to save our freedom
right.
or to give us a voice to be able to do, you know, for as women especially, I mean, look at us. We're able to do this. We're able to follow our dreams. We're not invisible anymore. And that's something that,
right.
that you know, they should be looked out for completely. That's a big problem for me. So I agree.
No, me too.
I
mean, and I mm-hmm. see why you're a philanthropy, why you love it. So I like that. And so that's okay that we're
yes.
talking about it. I think we should address stuff like that. And I love that the difference. And I think that when people travel, I want to make this clear that when you travel, have respect for other countries. Seriously,
yes.
you should learn a little bit
mm-hmm.
of the language. It's only respect. You expect people to learn it when they come here, so we should learn it when we go somewhere else. I just think it's respect. Or don't travel.
It is. Right. Well, I mean, and honestly, there is, to me, that's the window to the world. I mean, there is culture to me, and that's probably why I am so in love with food and wine and different cultures and art and photography and film, because that's the voice. I mean, that is the voice of a world. And if you go, like every year I go, I know the Oscars are coming up, and every year I go to the Foreign Film Symposium, and Mark Johnson, who's a producer, is a curator, or the moderator, I'm sorry. And you sit there, and of 60 films that it gets narrowed down to, I mean, I'm sorry, there's, I don't know how many countless films that come from 60 different countries. They narrow it down to, you know, their top picks, and then only 5 or now 10 get chosen. And when you see all of these films, I mean, we're talking completely opposing countries sometimes. And the movie, they're still making these beautiful films. And the whole thing is you learn where the world is at because unanimously across the board, every single film is the same topic. And it tells you
wow.
that the world, no matter who you are and what money you have access to or what your cultural differences are or what your religious beliefs are, no matter what any of those things are, the common thread is the same. And it could be about family, whether it's the dissolution of family, whether it's the coming together of family, the reliance on family. It could be the political state of the world. It could be the economy. But it's amazing how, and it could be like, I mean, we're talking every genre of film, from horror to comedy. And all of these movies completely polarize where we're at in this world. And it's a beautiful way to sort of, you know, just respect one another and appreciate one another and really envelop that whole idea that we really are not so different. And if
we're
really
not.
Away all of these things that allow us to, you know, spew out so much hate and indifference, it would be a beautiful place to live. And I know that that's a very idyllic view of seeing things, but I will always be that way. I think that there has to be someone who believes in humanity and believes that we can be better than we've become. You know, and that's kind of
it's usually egos. It's usually driven by the wrong things. When if we can drive ourselves through love, it's not that you don't see color, because I tell people that's a disrespect if you go to a different country so you don't see anyone's color. You see their color. That's not the point. The point is judging someone by their color instead of judging the person by the content of their character. Yeah,
right. Well, I mean, and it's true. I mean, and it's not even basic things like skin color. I mean, I wish it was honestly that simple. It isn't. I mean, people
it really
use
isn't.
Religion, and they use, you know, all these things. And I in my world, I think, you know, if I was not born here and I would have been born in Jordan or somewhere else, chances are that the world and lifestyle that I would have been exposed to would vastly differ from the one that I was exposed to. And it wouldn't make it raw. It wouldn't make it wrong. It would just make it my environment.
Different.
You know?
That's
and
my
there
point.
Is some,
it's just that you do somewhere different. Your views are different, but we're still all human beings. Listen, if we take everything else away and realize that we're all just human beings, striving to be the best that we can be, and let love drive you, I'm telling you, it could be better. Because if you love, truly love your neighbor, then you care if they're hungry. You care if they're homeless. You care if their kids, I mean, what happened to just driving that force instead of us putting all these other labels on everything? I mean, it's just crazy to me that we do that.
It is, and it happens. But, you know, I mean, and again, to sort of bring it back to how the magazine and sort of the purpose behind that, it tends to be more like luxury lifestyle. But, I mean, to me, it's not about the actual dollar spent. It's about the quality. And I won't cover people who I don't think are good people. Like, I don't care.
I love
how, you know, I mean, and I've been offered money to sponsor certain things and or cover certain press releases, and I just can't in good conscience because I don't like what some of these people stand for. And then when I do end up writing about, like, a hotel that I've gone to, it's because I felt so either hopefully not disrespected, but hopefully because my experience was so great that even if I do think that some of these places are too expensive and they don't take into account that if they really want a quality person, you don't need to outprice them completely. But, you know,
correct.
There really is, like, this beautiful respect that comes across in a room that you stay in or the service that you receive or, you know, when you go to a restaurant. Like, I really, there's a couple restaurants in L.A. that try to take on this whole, like, we're too cool for you. And it bothers me because I'm thinking, for one, you are not Manhattan and you cannot pull that off. For two.
I know, right?
You know, yeah. I'm like, you are not New York. And New York, I mean, New York, not like it's great. Do that.
I get it, though.
Get it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they have earned that. They have earned that right to be a little pretentious, you know? And here, I feel like, you know what? We're not that, this is what California is. I mean, California is cool. California just is, you know, you could have a billionaire walk in, but guess what? The billionaire is wearing Converse and drives up in a Prius. Like, do not assume
it's so
everybody's
true.
Driving a Rolls,
you know,
or a
why?
Bentley.
You know, my dad told me that. My dad said, wealthy people, because there's a difference between wealth and rich, okay?
Yes.
So when you're wealthy, it's generational. It's not, you don't have anything to prove, right? Your wealth isn't in your things. It's in your investments. It's in your home. It's in the love. It's,
right.
And yes, you may be a billionaire, but that's your wealth. Rich people, on the other hand, are the ones that have to show off everything, the ones that have to pull up in everything and be flashy. And so there is such a difference in that. And my dad always says, you never want to strive to be rich.
No.
You want to be
wealthy,
a wealthy person.
Because then you're wealthy in spirit, too. You know what I mean? Like, your soul is wealthy because you look at it as you actually understand that it is a real luxury. Like, it is not a right. And there is a very big difference between the rich and the wealthy in that department. I feel like, you know, no one has a right to be arrogant. No one has a right.
No one does, honey.
The more money you have, the more people try to take from you. And the more things that people think they can get from you, they try. And I've seen it and I've experienced it. But at the same time, I think, okay, but I believe in hard work. I believe in integrity.
Sure,
I believe in the discipline of going after what it is you want. And so however you present that, do it with style, do it with grace, do it with dignity, and never disrespect other people. And I'm not saying...
And have integrity about yourself.
Yeah.
That's what
I mean, about you,
Dawn, is that you're like me. I get offers all the time, and I tell people, I'm not even this big radio show. I am doing what I'm called to do. But I'll get people that just say, well, why can't I be on your show? And because there are certain people that can, and there are certain people that can't. And I'm telling you, if you don't fit something for me, I'm not going to do it. If I don't believe in what you're trying to sell me, I'm not going to do it. I want good-hearted people on my show because my show is wrapped around being a truthful person. But also, Simply Hanif is just living your life simply, guided by love, guided by your spirit, and that's the kind of thing that I want to have on my radio show, and that's it.
Absolutely.
And so I had to learn that about myself, because before I would just have all kind of random people,
and
then I felt lost, and then I wasn't being fulfilled. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. I mean, that's the magazine. I would just kind of, if I was invited, I would just go. And one gentleman that I met, he's an entrepreneur, and he's just started a bunch of startup successful companies. And his one thing was, you need to learn to say no. The art of no. And I thought, you know what? You're so right. And so it's funny because now, I mean, I was recently asked to interview this woman from a PR firm, and I thought, I work with so many PR firms. First of all, that would be a complete conflict of interest. Second of all, I know this woman, and I do not like this woman. And I won't.
And you got to stick with it. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And it was just one of these things. I'm like, wow, I think it was funny because this person knows I would not interview her. She knows because just I don't like what she stands for, and she doesn't know what she's doing, in my opinion. And, you know, and it's one of those moments. And then there's the other side of things. Like for me, I get, you know, I get people who ask all the time to be featured in the magazine, like if they could be a writer or a photographer or, and I am all about fostering talent, but it has to fit. You know what I mean? Like it has
to fit. Yes, I agree with you.
Want,
it has to fit.
I want.
It has to fit your purpose.
I mean, yes, and I mean, I'm a harsh editor. I will completely admit that, but it's because I expect not for everybody to be perfect. That is not at all what I expect. What I expect is that when you submit something, you're not phoning it in. I need to know that whatever you're giving me, even if it requires a lot of editing, that you are putting your best foot forward and you're giving me the best.
I love that about you, Dawn. That's me. It has to be 100%. Listen, I give 100%. I research. I wouldn't have asked. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have had it inboxed you. I do my research. I do my work. If I have a reader, say someone that's a writer and wrote a book,
mm-hmm.
I actually indulge in your book. I'm someone that's going to actually read your book because I'm going to ask questions in your book. So I don't want anything that now that I've learned to say the word no myself, that
yeah.
isn't aligned, because before I would have anybody. It just isn't
mm-hmm.
in line with my purpose, because we all have a purpose here. And
yes.
so my purpose is different. And I'm about really, Hanif Jordan is about uplifting the family unit. So whenever
mm-hmm.
anybody hears anything on my radio show, it's uplifting. So what you do is uplifting. You're encouraging somebody else to be able to live their dreams and have the courage to say no. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
You know, I do. I mean, and I think it's that age-old saying, what like attracts like. And if you're putting your goodness out there and you're putting all you have, I mean, now granted, when you do things right, it's a longer road, and I can definitely attest to that. But, I mean, you have to know yourself, believe in what you're doing wholeheartedly, not because you're so great. You have to believe in your soul that were you to not do this, it would make you feel sort of suffered. You know what I mean? Like, I know for me, I could not exist without writing. I know that 100%.
Right.
It is my oxygen. And creating and designing and all this other stuff, that's just a bonus for me, you know. But at the end of the day, I see the world in words. I see the world as a story. And they're all beautiful, fragmented pieces that when you put them together, create this incredible experience. And to me, that's life on fire, you know. I mean, that's really... You're living, you're doing something, you're contributing. I mean, in the magazine is an ode to every creative person. And that's what I wanted. I wanted to give a voice to people who I felt weren't getting one. I mean, and I have friends, granted, that have won Oscars, and they've done some really, you know, mind-blowing pieces of work. But no one knows who they are. No one knows anything about them except for the same tired, you know, like regurgitated interviews that everybody else does. And I thought, gosh. But no one knows that, you know, no one just handed this to you. You have to work. And when you get these awards or you get all these things, you have to work even harder. Like, you don't just get a free pass because you get that. Like, now you got to earn it, you know. And
I agree.
And I think I kind of take that approach. I take that approach even on the basic level of, you know, I have a really lovely staff. I really do. I mean, I have writers that, ironically, none of them really have a background in journalism. They all have a background in creative writing or filmmaking. And it's because like they see the moments rather than
isn't that the beauty
singular
of having a great
yeah.
team who sees the things that you see. And so it's okay to what you're doing is also giving them opportunity and they're learning something different. And I just think that's beautiful. I think that is like awesome. Because we can all learn and utilize our skills for one common goal. And so you've given them
yeah.
that chance and you build your team. But your team understands that you're, you know, that you're a tough cookie, and I like that too. I hear that in you. You know, I'm a tough cookie.
I know. I feel bad. Though. One of my writers is not so happy with me right now, but I'm like, well, I'm sorry. This review, I need more. I need you to really dig deep, and I'm not publishing until you do. And I know that, and it is what it is. But I also know that he'll hate me right now, but later he'll go, okay, you know what? And again, it doesn't mean he's going to do what I say. It means that he's going to at least listen to what I say, and he'll try something new. And he may discover that he doesn't like my way, but he's now firm in his own way. And that's the beauty of creative freedom. Like my photographers, I love them. I mean, Kevin and Austin and Tram here, I don't ask them for us. Like literally, I don't have to guide them at all. I just send them to do their thing. And when they give it back to me, like, the beauty of that sort of synergy and camaraderie and that freedom of knowing I do not have to worry about what I'm going to get back. Like,
I need a team like that, girl. I'm working on my team.
Trust me, I know.
It's
a long process. I mean, I'm at the stage now where I really want to bring on, because I just want to create and write and do what I do best. I do not want to think about the business side, and I really want to bring on a business partner who can have the same passion, and that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm like, you know what? I just want to do what I do. I've built it, and now I'm ready for someone to handle, you know, the everyday, because I want
to
do what makes me happy. Oh, yeah. But, I mean, it is. I mean, this is what I'm saying. Like, when you do it the right way, it's a process. But the thing is now, and I'm sure you've experienced the same thing. I mean, for me doing it online versus doing it in print first, I have worked out so many kinks. I know what people want, and I know what I want, and I am very clear on what the vision is that I'm, you know, what the bigger vision is. It's not just a singular thing. This is, you know, I have the pop-up dinners. I have, you know, all these things, and I want to eventually do, like, an art exhibition. And, you know, I want to work with all these incredible people that I know and the network that I've built and say, okay, now you get to go. Go play. You know, go create. Let the world see what else you can do. And to me, that's really what I love. I mean, just to see all these incredibly creative people finally feel like they have a voice and finally feel like someone's there to say, here's your platform. Go play. I mean, and you're as a creative person in general. Like, when do you get to do that? I never got to do that, which is why I thought, yeah, I'm just going to do what I would have wanted somebody to do for me, which is kick me in the butt when I need it, and then say, find your voice, figure out who you are and what you want and what you're after. And, you know, and then that's when I go to do reviews, even at simple restaurants, that's my expectation. I'm like, if I can't taste the love, I don't care if it's a $5 taco, if I can't taste it, something's wrong. You got to go back and find it and then create it again.
I love
you know?
That. Yes, because when I cook at home, I want my family to enjoy my food, and because I put so much love in it, and, you know, I always tell me my food puts you to sleep, my dinner does.
And it's real good. When
that's a good meal.
It really does.
And I love it. And then that's when everybody cleans their plate. I really like you, Dawn. We have to hook up soon to have brunch. I really love what you stand for. And I say it's inspiring. It is inspiring, and I love it.
Well, back at you. So we'll have to go out and have some wine. Let's go do wine.
Go have
yes,
wine.
Yes, girl, I love wine. Some yummy food and sit and chat. I would love that. So
yes,
we'll have to do
that.
We are
going
to do
that. Let's make that happen.
Yes, ma'am. We're going to make that happen. Well, Dawn, this is actually concludes our show, and I'm so excited.
If someone that is aligned with what you're doing wants to reach you, perhaps to be into your, you know, on your magazine or in your magazine and write if you're looking for anybody, how can they find you? I always want to give you that opportunity to, you know, say that on the show and also to pay and get your magazine.
Okay, so the magazine will hopefully be in print. Actually, we're in discussion to do one print edition this year, so we'll see how that goes. But you can go online, and it's A Taste of Dawn abbreviated, so A-T-O-D, magazine.com, and there's a little contact button, and you can contact me that way, or you can email my marketing director at editorial@atodmagazine.com, and Chloe can make sure I get all of the submissions. On Instagram, it's just Dawn Garcia. Facebook and Twitter is A Taste of Dawn or Atod Magazine. And I'm pretty accessible. I get back to people with emails, and I have a sense of urgency with everything, so if you write me, I will respond. And if it's not a fit, don't take it personal. That's all I can say.
I hear you on that.
I get that too.
But I love it because you're like me. I have a sense of urgency too, and you get back to people just like I do. And I thank you for that, because I'm someone that said I'm just going to take a chance and inbox this woman. And you answered, and that's what I want people to hear. It's okay to take chances. Take them. Some doors close,
yes.
Some open, and it's okay. It's just the process. Trust the process. Trust the process. Things will happen
If I can just, I know we have to wrap up, but one more thing I have to say is my entire career as a screenwriter working in film, doing this magazine,
I always took this notion where the worst thing they can say is no. So there
right.
is no harm in asking. So ask for what you want. Go for what you want, and don't be afraid of that. Because really the only thing you're going to hear is no, and they're prepare for that, and you'll be surprised.
I agree. Because I got some yeses lately, and I'm like, really, Lord? But okay.
Well, have a wonderful, happy Valentine's Day, too.
Oh, you too, sweetie. Have some wine for me, baby. But
I will. Sorry.
I thank you, Don. We'll definitely, you know, off the air, get in contact with each other. So thank you again, Don,
yes.
for being on my show. And I wish you nothing but the best and much success.
Thank you so much, Nathan. You as well. And have a wonderful rest of your week.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to the Simply Hanif Radio Show. Please continue supporting the show by tuning in every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern Time. Visit our website at hanifrjordan.com and click the Simply Hanif tab for more information. Simply Hanif is a wife, mother, and mentor. Hanif brings the best interviews and conversations to you. Let's laugh, cry, grow, and drink coffee.